Turning your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to me, and I hope to you too. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to stop right there. Now, I will start by saying I was not planning on speaking about election today. I was going to leave that to Walter.
Always.
I know. He's going to anyway. That's what I was going to say. I do have a purpose in using this scripture, you know. But I'm not really planning on talking about election. However, just because of context, I might have to speak a little bit about choosing, if that's okay. Because God chooses. God chooses. What about man's choice? Well, what about it? I don't know. You want my choice? It'll be wrong. You want the natural man's choice? It will be wrong. You can choose all you want, but you can't choose good.
Yeah.
You can change all you want, but you can't change your heart.
Right.
You can quit whatever you want, but you cannot make a desperately wicked heart good.
Right.
This scripture right here tells us that God made a choice. And the word at the beginning of this verse, but we are bound to give thanks for you. Well, the reason that but's there is because of the four or five previous verses.
Yeah.
This 13 and 14 is talking about the chosen people of God.
Amen.
And the but right there at the very beginning is telling you before this, he was not talking about the chosen people of God. We have here the complete opposite in the children of God, the complete opposite of what he had been previously speaking about, writing about. Those who were given and shall be given strong delusion to believe a lie. Those who had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those who believe not the truth. Those who received not the love of the truth.
Yeah.
If there's a chosen. If there is a chosen, and this scripture says there is, chosen by God, there's reprobate.
Sure.
There is reprobate.
Yeah.
Because if a choice is made to salvation, then a choice is not made to salvation. That's what Romans 9 tells us.
Amen.
I had a guy this morning on the radio, Walter. I was trying to use it to get Debbie up. That's right. I will use Arminianism against you to get my way. It worked. Because she said, what did he say? Well, he was quoting the back half in Romans 9. And I sat there and I thought, well, isn't that nice? Where was it? Yes, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. He quoted that part. And then he talked about how God didn't want anybody to go to hell. What happened to the verse before it? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That's the difference between the chosen and the reprobate.
Right. Right.
And the difference is God.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
And I said I wasn't going to talk about election. That's not what I come here for. But that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere in the scripture.
Yeah.
This is one thing that amazed myself and Walter. We talked about it endlessly years ago, and we still talk about it today, that when you turn the scriptures, there it is. God makes the difference, or God doesn't make the difference. Christ saying, I came to bring a division. What's the division between? The chosen and the reprobate.
Right.
That's where the division is.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know who's reprobate. I can't say. There's a saying that's out there, and I understand the context, and I understand what they're saying by this, where they say, none is so blind as one who will not see. And I understand their point.
Sure.
And I agree with their point. But I'm going to tell you something. None is so blind as one who can't see.
Right.
Who cannot see. And I will add to that, there is none so deaf as one who cannot hear. And I will add that because Christ taught that.
Yeah.
In John chapter 8, I did want to look at this just for a minute. Because I get tired of people I get tired of people missing the point of the scriptures. John chapter 8 and verse 42. Now this is Jesus speaking. And he's speaking to people who, for some reason, disagree with him. It seems like there were a lot of them, Mason. They were all over the place. Guess what? They still are. Here's why. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. If God was your father, you'd love Christ. Well, if you don't love Christ, what does that mean? That's right, Christ fixed him to tell him. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Because, this is the reason why ye cannot hear my word. That's the reason why. Who said it? Christ did. I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But I will repeat it in a loud voice if necessary. Well, because y'all let me get away with it. Other places, not so much. I don't know how you can go to Romans 9 and talk about that and then go to free will. Well, that's the power of Arminianism. I know about the power of cheese. I got dogs and cats, okay? That's the power of Arminianism. You can say any amount of foolishness and people will say amen. If you're not ascribing all of the work and all of the glory and all of the power to Jesus Christ. And that's what they're doing. Christ didn't stop there, though. He said, ye are of your father, the devil.
Yeah.
God was your father, you'd love me.
Right.
Now, he can say that. I can't. I don't know.
Right. You don't know.
But I'm going to guarantee you this. He was 100% absolutely perfectly right.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
Ye are of your father, the devil. That's not a good thing. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. That truth keeps popping up everywhere too. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Mm-hmm. If you're of God, you'll hear the truth of God.
Amen.
That's a fact.
Amen.
You may not hear it today. There are those elect that are not regenerate.
Right.
You may not hear it today, but you will hear the truth of God if you are of God. But the children of the devil will never hear the truth of God because the truth's not in them. These men were not only uncircumcised in heart and ears, they were of their father, the devil.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, I can't say that, but Christ can. He's God. He was right. He is right. He's always right. He was talking to them personally right there, and yet he said they couldn't hear his word.
Amen.
What, were their ears not working? Ye cannot hear my word. Ye uncircumcised in heart and ears, do always resist the Holy Spirit. Just like your daddies did, so do you. Stephen said the same thing. This ear is not the ear that matters. Now, this ear we will hear with, or perceive with, or some manner of data entry, as they call it today. Whether it be reading, whether it be hearing, whether, you know, what is it, the sign language. I'm watching them on TV. They're talking to somebody at a press conference about something really, really bad, and somebody's always up there now, you know, doing this. And I think that's nice. But Christ is speaking of the dead sinner.
Amen.
The children of the devil, the reprobate. And that's what Paul was writing of here in 2 Thessalonians. There's a difference between the child of God and the child of the devil. And if there is a chosen people, there is a reprobate people. Now, they may be more religious than you or I are. They may be more moral than I am, and that's not hard to do, I don't think, some days. A lot of the times, the people that had the biggest problem with our Lord Jesus Christ were the most religious. And he said it, there is a broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many are on it. And that's not the road to the beer joint, or to the basketball game, or to the football game, or to the nightclubs. That's religion. It's religion. They think they have something. He said, oh, you claim Abraham. Abraham saw my day and he was glad.
Yeah.
Abraham saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and he was glad. These people were in the presence of Jesus Christ and they took up stones to stone him.
Right.
And I stood in a place and thankfully Walter stood up. Well, he was actually another side of the aisle, but he stood up with me one day for this truth.
Yeah.
And I'm glad at that time there were no rocks in that church building. Yeah, I know, or loose pews, or you know. Thankfully, nobody thought about using the hymnals. The threats were made. Physical threats were made. Because of this truth right here. That Jesus Christ is God. That God chose his people from the beginning. And God saves his people. And there is no such thing as free will.
Right.
It's God's will that matters. Kind of got sidetracked there. I know. No, I was on choosing. I'm sorry. I was on choosing. Elections later in the second service. Now, this is Paul writing of the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It is talking about that coming. Of the man of sin.
Yeah.
And his working after, well, it says, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. And it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. This is 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. All deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because. Ooh. They receive not the love of the truth. Now, the guy today on the radio was saying people go to hell. He's a guy from Akron, Ohio, who had heard supposedly heard the gospel in the coal mines of West Virginia. He said people were going to hell because they didn't choose to love God. They didn't choose to accept Jesus as their personal Savior.
Yeah.
What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
So he was describing how you go out and get salvation. That's what he was telling people after that. Here's how you get it. That's their version of receiving it. You can't receive it till you go get it. No. The scriptural version, you don't receive it. It's because God didn't give it to you.
Right.
No man can come unto me except it be given him. Of my Father. And guess what? When God gives you something, you got it.
You got it.
because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause, that they weren't given the love of the truth, because they were the reprobate. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And by goodness, they believe the lie.
Yeah.
You can't shake it out of them. I've tried. I've used logic. I've used the Bible. Biblical logic. Which is not to be confused with biblical predestination, because I want to talk about that in a minute. But you can take a scripture and quote it to them. You can read it to them. And before you read it to them, they believe every word in the Bible. Then you read it to them, and all of a sudden, I don't believe that. The Bible's the word of God. What? It says what? It said God chose, not man. Watching Raiders of the Lost Ark the other day. No, this was the last one. The one with, not the last one, the next to last one. The one with Sean Connery. They're looking for the Holy Grail. Then found the Ark, and of course the government took it from them. Then you're looking for the Holy Grail. Well, you got to make a choice there and pick the right cup. And he picked the right cup. He said, you have chosen wisely. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation.
Yeah.
Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. These received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and they were sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now this is talking of those in the future when the man of sin is revealed. That's the context. But nothing is different now.
Right.
The reprobate then are the same as the reprobate now.
Right.
Just as the chosen here, a couple thousand years ago when this was written, are no different than the chosen now.
Amen.
God made of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor.
Yeah.
And that makes me a super duper lapsarian or something like that. Yeah. Well, that's the scripture. I mean, Walter, when you preached that last time, or a couple of times, or three or four times in a row there, it was good. He always talks about that. Because it's still there. And it's still true. Just like Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Oh, if it's a gift, I bet you received it.
Amen.
The gift of God, I know you received it.
Mm-hmm.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are a creation.
Right.
This choosing is to be a creation. Once God creates you, you're created.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. What God's created, I can't uncreate.
Yeah.
And neither can anybody else.
It's about time for me to quit.
I might get to the subject here in a minute. I probably won't. The reason they believe not the truth is because they receive not the love of the truth.
Yeah.
So this guy this morning was talking about, oh, you all you got to do is believe. Just believe. Put your faith in Christ. I don't have any faith unless he gives it to me. No man has faith unless God gives it to him. And if God gives it to you, you will come. That was actually the point I was kind of heading for. Now, because, see, I read this the other day, and I thought back to a few weeks ago when I made a statement from up here where a fella had had a discussion with another preacher, supposedly, and he related it where Paul and Walter had gone up there, and I believe it was a shot across our bow, about talking to a preacher who's did not believe that the gospel was necessary for salvation. And he said, oh, the gospel's necessary. And I agree. Wholeheartedly, completely, the gospel is necessary for salvation. But there's a thing here. Paul, right here in this scripture, as far as from our perspective, salvation's in two parts. There's more, but just from our perspective and in this context, there's the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth.
Right. Yeah.
There is regeneration and there is conversion.
Yeah.
And I said it then, I'll say it now, right now, and I'll say it forever by the grace of God. The gospel is not necessary for regeneration.
Right.
The sanctification of the Spirit is not dependent upon the gospel being preached anywhere by anybody at any time. It's life from God. And when he walks upon you, polluted in your own blood, who's there? You and him. And that's it. And I looked upon you when you were in your blood, and I said unto you, live. And you lived, and there wasn't anybody preaching. There wasn't even anybody preaching at that time. That's life from God. Now, the belief of the truth, guess what? You're kind of going to have to know, hear the gospel. Or read it, or be signed it, or whatever. I don't want to leave out deaf people. They always leave out deaf people. They say you got to hear the gospel. You will hear. Because when God gives life, God also gives faith. And you who have life have received the love of the truth. These others didn't because it was not given. But when God gives life, God will give faith. When God gives faith, he will send the gospel to you.
Yeah.
In some way, some form, somehow. And now there are more ways than there ever was before.
Sure.
Because the truth is the truth, whether it's on tape, whether it's on CD, whether it's on video, whether it's on DVD, whether it's online, or whether it's written in a book.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're not converted to error.
No. No.
Because Paul considers it. Actually, explains it. Whereunto he called you, what, by our gospel. He called you. He didn't call them. But by the gospel. How shall a man believe unless he hear? And how shall he hear unless they send a preacher? Or how shall they preach except they be sent? The gospel is to be heard. But that's not for regeneration. That's for conversion. They are both necessary. They are both a part of salvation,
yeah,
if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
Our salvation is not complete here because Peter talks about it a little later on. It says, ready to be revealed at the last time. We are kept by the power of God. By the power of God, we're kept. By the power of God, we're given. Everything's by the power of God. We're kept through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. There's more coming. But right here, right now, at this time, what we know is regeneration and conversion. And you don't know about regeneration until you've been converted. But it came before. How long before? I don't know. It can happen while you're in the pew, while you're here listening to the sound of the gospel. It can happen that way. From my experience and from everybody I've talked to, even to people who believe in gospel regeneration, their testimony says different.
If they got it,
it does. Yeah. God works things out on His timetable. And the Spirit is the one that sanctifies.
Right.
Not the gospel.
Right.
And the Spirit doesn't need the gospel. I'm sorry, He doesn't. We need the gospel.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for You who sent Your Son, our Lord, to redeem His people. The people You gave Him, after You chose them in Him, You gave them to Him. And He took upon Himself their sins, their transgressions, their faults, their failures, and nailed them to His cross, and took them in Himself, and suffered the penalty, that He might redeem us unto God. Thank You, Lord, for Your salvation. In Christ's name, amen.